Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Mr. Cusimano coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some sports. We have Brian Kilmeade live in the 5 o'clock hour right now on some entertainment stuff. Paul Hall from Common Guy Films, commonguy.com. How are you, Paul? Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mark. I tell you, it's been a good year, I guess, at the movies and TV. I think I was more impressed almost with TV this year than movies, but you know, looking back at the year, there's a lot of things that kind of impressed me in different ways. I didn't do a traditional top 10 list this year because, well, I was done with them pretty much. Yeah. Instead, I wanted to talk about movies or TV shows that I felt I wanted to talk about, whether they were great or not great.
Okay.
Just things that I enjoyed.
Let's recap then, and maybe Jane and I and Sue can contribute to some of these as well. I mean, Jane in particular has seen pretty much every show that's out there, but what are amongst your favorites?
Well, you know, the first thing I was really shocked is that Wicked lived up to the hype. And it's one of those things when you get hyped as much as Wicked was coming into the end of this year, and it being part one of two, you go, well, is it going to get there?
Yeah.
And you know
what? A lot of people said that.
It did.
Yeah, and it did. It was fantastic. And it's a great first half. They cut it off at almost the perfect place. It never felt too long, even though you were dealing it with 2.5 hours of movie. And the music is spectacular. It's a great storyline, and I think it's something people are going to wait for part two, which comes up in 25.
Yeah, I loved it. It's not for everyone. If you don't like musicals, you're probably not going to like it, but I thought it was spectacular as well. And, you know, I would put it in the category of a film that deserves. You got the Golden Globes this weekend. The Critics' Choice Awards are coming out here soon. You're still a voting member in that. But, you know, I think when it comes to some of these Oscar contenders, Paul, and this happens every year, as I was someone who voted on these awards for two decades, there's all these movies that I'm watching right now, and I almost want there to be an experiment, Jane, and I don't think we could ever do this, but Paul, think about this. Let's say that all four of us, we'll put Sue in the mix here, we are given 30 movies to watch that are awards contenders, right? We don't know anything about, we're in our basements, we got to watch all those 30, we got to come up with a list of the top five movies that we've watched.
Right.
Having done that right now, there's a couple of films that are being talked about for Best Picture that I would never put in a Best Picture category. Now, they're okay, like the Jesse Eisenberg movie, A Real Pain. I thought it was good. I thought it was compelling. It's not Best Picture. Wicked is Best Picture. The Dylan biopic, to me, that's a Best Picture nominee. There's a few others, but there's a lot of these this time of year where you shake your head and say, what the hell?
Yeah, and that's what most people feel, and that's why award shows don't get the viewing that they used to. It's one of those things where you can go and see all these movies that you haven't seen. You can't really stream in most cases some of them, and you just don't want to sit through them because, quite frankly, let's be honest, and Mark, you've done this. You've been through this slog at this time of year. When you're watching a lot of movies and back-to-back-to-back, they're on the depressing side,
yeah, they are.
It just kind of gets to you.
Yeah, wears on
you. Over a course of time.
It absolutely does.
And what is wrong with movie award shows, like liking movies that a lot
are
of people
popular.
Like?
Right.
I mean, it's almost as if it's popular, it's off the list.
Yep.
No, not my list. And that's
Mark, not your list, but these award shows.
Mark and I have in general, when we voted for Critics' Choice, we would exchange our lists on the night that the ballots were due in just to see where we landed. And I think Mark and I went to a lot more of the populist titles because we come from a part of the country here where in the Midwest, it's just we have more sensibility.
Well, Paul,
and we like a variety of stuff.
The artsy fartsy and the fun.
Yeah, right. I think there's definitely, and I can say this very comfortably because I've hung with these people, but there's snobbery in these critics groups,
sure.
And they all think that they are better than everyone else. And what happens is, like, I saved this list from the LA Times because I always want to see where people are, you know, the best movies of the year. So Amy Nicholson, one of the critics from the LA Times, puts her list together, and there's a bunch of movies that people haven't seen. Anora is a film that's got a lot of buzz. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
I mentioned A Real Pain. She puts A Real Pain at number 4. Again, good movie. I liked it. But at number five was this film called, I don't even know if I want to call it a film, it's called Hundreds of Beavers. And I've watched this damn thing mainly because I wanted to make fun of it. It is the most bizarre, freaky, weird damn movie. Even my kids, my son was in town with his girlfriend. I made them watch it. They thought it was bizarre. It's I can't even describe it. I really can't.
But they feel really good being so obscure.
Yeah. Right. And they're cooler than everyone because they've seen it, and it's not even in theaters yet. It's not going to get released until, you know what I mean? This is the mindset that a lot of the critics give. And the other thing that happens is, and Paul, you probably saw the email today, and I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but there's a guy that just passed away in the Critics' Choice. He was one of the founding members. I knew him pretty well. His name was Jim Ferguson. But what I'll tell you about Jim, and Paul, you know this, is if there was a crappy movie that was out, right? And I mean, one of the, what could we think of? Let's say Norbit, because that's always my go-to. I can name some names that you could recognize right now. Sean Edwards from Kansas City. The crappiest movies out there will still get a blurb from a critic that says, it's the best movie of the year. And that was this guy, Jim Ferguson. And that's this guy, Sean Edwards, in Kansas City. And that's what a lot of them do because they're kind of on the take. And none of this stuff happens accidentally. A good example of this right now is what's happening with Justin Baldoni and the whole dust up with what's her name?
Because is that all orchestrated?
Blake Lively.
Because that's both sides are manipulating the story on that. You have high powered PR agents that manipulate things. So the same thing happens with award shows. They get out ahead of these, you know, critics and they lavish
and they
them with gifts.
Them in.
Look, Paul, I'm still getting posters and stuff like that. I got the coolest signed poster of Maria Perez or whatever the hell that movie is.
Amelia Perez,
Because they want me. I'm not even a voting member, but they do this. The movie companies spend a lot of money bribing people across the country to vote for their films. In many cases, people haven't even seen the movies. It's well documented that Oscar voters share their screeners. Now you do it digitally, but they would give their DVDs to family members. Say, hey, tell me what to vote for, right? And that's how a lot of this happens.
They don't what's interesting, though, is the TV shows. I mean, I guess that's the nature of the medium, but, you know, because you can't have a crappy show because nobody watches it. Nobody ever hears about it. But the TV shows make a lot more sense. I mean, they get it more
right. You know,
right.
You're right about
that. I think you're right.
I think
the reason is because, look, you can have the most critically acclaimed movie on the planet, 99% Rotten Tomatoes, and it's made $3,000 at the box office. In television, it is what it is. People are going to watch it or they're not going to watch it.
Exactly, right? And it won't make it. So
exactly.
I mean, because I looked at the shows they nominated. I'm like, there's some really good, legit ones here that I support.
I think you're getting, to your point, Jane, I think it's an excellent point. You're getting a better, more accurate take of what is exceptional in the television world. Although,
because it's harder to survive.
Right, but some of this stuff is so artsy-fartsy, and it just gets beyond people. Paul, you mentioned a movie here that you really liked for 2024. I've recommended it to everyone called Thelma. With June Squibb, who is a wonderful 94-year-old actress. This is on Hulu. It is a wonderful film, but you're not going to hear that as a nominee for Best Picture, right? It's under the radar, but it's one that's audience-friendly. It's really well made. The acting is spectacular, and it has a heart.
I don't know if I would put it out to pasture just yet. I do think there's some love for that film out there. I've seen it on some year-end top 10 lists from folks. I've seen people talk more and more about it. It's in our best comedy category, and it may be where I end up putting my vote when it comes time for putting my vote in later. It is definitely that there are, with Critics' Choice and some of the other groups like ours, yes, we have some bad apples. We all do. But we also have people like myself when you were there in the day, which I take it seriously. And actually, the publicists do the one thing that's important that they can do is get it, the film in front of me and remind me when I'm voting that it's out there. As far as getting another T-shirt or a mug or a candle, those are cool things. Don't get me wrong, and I'll give them away to members of my family. But that's not influencing my vote. I mean, they haven't flown me to a set, and that wouldn't influence my vote as well.
Well,
my
vote
is simply based on what I believe is the most enjoyable content for the year and the best content for the year. Sometimes that winds up with the Academy, and you see Critics' Choice line up with the Academy more often than not because you get a big, wide representation versus these small niche groups when you get just, you know, the half dozen, two dozen, three dozen film critics of a city. That's getting a real insulated group of people voting, and those will be more obscure than when you get hundreds of people across the country, you know, giving that that kind of sample size.
Now, one of the movies that is getting a lot of buzz, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, I started it and I stopped it because I just had this feeling from the very beginning it was going to be excellent, and I was kind of late at night and I didn't want to, you know, fall asleep. But it's called The Brutalist with Adrian Brody. It's also a very long movie, and it starts in Europe in, you know, the aftermath of World War II, but then it's a story of an immigrant who comes to America. Have you seen The Brutalist?
The Brutalist is a fascinating and amazing film from start to finish. It is long, and it's, you know, it's one of those slogs that it takes a little while to go through, and you have to be invested and keep going. You can't give it up after 45 minutes and turn it off. So it's good that you didn't really get into it before you wanted to walk away or step away. I think there's a market for it. I think it's a film that is going to look at some groups of people and be like, I'm not going to start even watching it. And I think that's going to go up against it.
Well, it's not going to do a lot of box office.
It's not going to do much.
Yeah. All right, let's kind of, because 2024 is behind us, so let's look ahead to 2025 with television and film. And one of the things on Netflix that's going to come up in a couple of weeks, I got to give a big plug to my friend Gabe Basso, who's from right here in St. Louis. Gabriel, I'm sorry, because he's an official actor now, but The Night Agent Season 2 is coming back on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. It's coming up on, I believe it's January 23rd. You're going to get season two coming home for everybody to check it out. And the first season is still hanging out there over at Netflix. So if you haven't seen that, go check that out before the second one launches. And the other big title that's coming out for the first month of the year, January over on Apple, Severance season two. I believe that is season two. Yeah. That was huge at the water cooler when this first season dropped, and I think people will be excited to see what's coming on.
Jane,
that.
Jane, did you try that one? I tried it. It didn't work for me.
I tried, and I could not get
me
there.
Me neither.
I'm a slow horse.
You couldn't be in the water cooler conversation.
No, I don't get water, I guess, but I'm more of a slow horses gal.
On the film front, you have Mission Impossible, another Mission Impossible. 28 years later is coming out. You have
a two-parter?
Which one?
Was one of those Mission Impossibles a two-parter?
The first film came out a couple years back. You're very accurate on picking
so this
up on
is
that.
This is the second one in that.
This is, in essence, it's called The Final Reckoning. It's Dead Reckoning Part 2, The Final Reckoning, which the first one, Dead Reckoning, came out, I think it was 23? I don't have it off the top of my head. But first half was phenomenal. So I can't wait to see the finish of that part of this great franchise. It's been good everywhere.
All right, Paul, tell folks. Oh, wait, let me throw in one thing that I did watch this week, too, just because I've been watching a lot. And it just holds up, and it's really good. It actually holds up very well for the time. I went back and I watched, just because it was one of those late-at-night movies, Jerry Maguire. Hadn't seen Jerry Maguire in a while.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It was fantastic. It really was really good. Tell folks where they can find your reviews, Paul Hall.
Hey, it's simple, commonguy.com. And I'll tell you what, the one thing that really struck me, there is on the schedule The Passion of the Christ Resurrection. So a film that you thought could never be a sequel made from it, The Passion of the Christ Resurrection, due April 18th in theaters. So sequels to everything.
I don't know what to make of that. Thank you, Paul Hall. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cusimano's coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.